is a production of Cornell University.
Good afternoon, student assembly members and community members. We're going to start the student assembly meeting on November 13, 2014. It is 4:47 p.m. If everyone could take their seats, that would be excellent. And whenever, Kelsey, you're ready, could you please call the roll?
Here.
I excuse. I excuse.
Thank you so much. The first order of business today is the approval of the November 6, 2014 meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
There's been a motion to approve and there's been a second. I'm going to ask that we approve these by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes from last week are approved. Now we can move into open microphones.
Hello, if there's anybody in the audience who'd like to bring up something to the student assembly, please come forward to the table and state your name and year.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Caroline. Would anybody else in the audience like to bring up an issue or concern to the student assembly? And seeing none, we're going to close open microphone.
Next on our agenda is announcements and reports, first by Representative Liu. Lisa Liu.
Yeah. Mike.
Hi, everyone. It's a great pleasure to be back at the first. I just want to talk to you about the research November 14th, 2016. So we have a number of total accepted applicants at the Ivy League Institution, and we're looking at productive discussions with teacher David Price, who is a reporter for the PBS Radio Show and Florida Iowa Conversation, John Alexander, who is the founder and CEO of the Newborn and his name as an artist of young, as well as a Cornell Entrepreneur of the Year, Frederick Lodeball, who is currently the vice president of the university and winner of the Pulitzer Prize in 2013. And our very own association of students and university members, the officers and the navigators. So we're looking at breakout chapters that range from examining the value of the liberal arts degree to global and social inclusion, building a professional network, and crafting sustainable careers, entrepreneurship, and the pressures that you suffer from back in school. So I also would like to draw all of your attention to an event on Saturday, November 15th, at 1:03 p.m. in the Carnation of the Physical Sciences Building. So this event is a network reception sponsored by all 4 years of CAP Council, and they have spent almost $2,000 to put together an event that is open to anyone in the Cornell community to come with the delegates at the Ivy Conference and to update the student body on CAP Council's event. So I would love to see all of you guys there. And last but not least, I just want to say that part of the conference has been an incredible journey, and I want to thank each and every one of you for making this conference possible, especially Dean Hubble, Gina, and Renee, for all of your support providers. I truly need the conference to be able to thank you.
Thank you so much, Lisa. We're looking forward to seeing how the summit goes. Next is Representative Friedman. VP for Finance, Fango.
So a few quick updates. The only one that actually was here is the special projects report. The Appropriations Committee on Monday approved the application from the Center for Jewish Living for a grill in honor of Alon, who was a student who recently passed away, unfortunately. So that was approved. If you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer that. There's also only two of the three reports are actually featured in this. The Slope Day, the CUPB, and Cornell Conference Mission were all seen last week at Appropriations Committee. They're all really well-run organizations that were given some suggestions, but for the most part, they're operating as they should be. And next week, we are seeing FROTC. So if you're interested in that, please let me know. And ask me again if you have any questions about these three groups or the Center for Jewish Living special project request.
And next is VP for PR, Warshaw.
So for this one's organization spotlight, the student assembly tried to announce International Student Board as this one's organization spotlight. International Student Board was founded in 1981 and has been one of the most vital agencies promoting cross-cultural understanding and international life on campus. In the past, ISB has funded major intercultural events such as the International Student Ball, as well as hosted events such as the International Student Kickoff, with the aim of broadening its purpose from just programming to promoting internationalism on campus. ISB, with the help of the SA, is now working on amending its constitution to form Cornell's first international student union. Let's all give ISB a round of applause.
Hi everyone, my name is Farah and I'm the president of ISB. We're very honored to be recognized this month and especially in light of our expansion efforts. We have had a few very successful events this year. We hope you we hope you have a chance to attend one or two of it. We have a very well planned schedule for events in the next semester. We hope you're able to attend it. We are planning on hosting again the International Ball. We're hosting career and nutritious mixer for international students and grad students. We want to continue to improve promoting internationalism and international students' life at Cornell. So if you or any organization you are in have any ideas that you want to collaborate with, please feel free to approach us and we'll surely make it happen. And with me is a GT, newly elected to the democracy, and she's going to speak very briefly about
Democracy. Hello everyone, I'm VP. I'm the Vice President of Democracy for ISB this year. So I'm basically the go-to person for any issues that international students might face beyond the, you know, aspect of going to events and having something pop on campus. So I've been working
working closely with Shivam, and the IT has been working very closely with him, and we do really appreciate the exactly from the team of students that he's organized. And we've been collaborating to kind of create a standardized student unit in the near future, which can address and nuance issues that international students might face on campus, which are more critical. So you can tell me if there is anything interesting and anything imperative to take that we need to address.
Thank you all so much for coming out today. Keep up the great work. Next is, actually, we're going to have a quick announcement about procedure from Chelsea. I know it's not on there, but because it's so pertinent.
Hi, so regarding the process of resolutions and amendments, it's the kind of practice that I take amending all the resolutions since I've been admitted. It's actually technically the responsibility of the resolution sponsor to keep track of the resolution as it's updated. So from here forward, after the meeting, I will send the amendments made to the sponsors of the resolution, and it will be your job to update your own document, and then we'll send it to Juliana along with further regular procedures.
So basically, to summarize that in another way, from now on, if an amendment is made to your resolution during the meeting, you need to make sure that your document is updated, and you need to send it to Juliana again like you would if it were a brand new resolution. And that way, every week, everyone will have a copy of the amended resolution as a reference point. Does that sound okay? Great. Now we can move into business of the day. Resolution 25, calling for an investigation of the quarter system. Actually, Lindsay's going to make an announcement really quick. I accidentally skipped her.
So the auction was a very basic topic. There's about four different drafts. But you all remember, this is simply hosted at Prison River Arbitra in Hope Plaza, so we didn't have a night. During this event, we had students fill out a brief questionnaire before they received the Prison River samples, asking students about any changes they'd like to draft at. After this event, the communication community and I collected all the data and created a very detailed and extensive spreadsheet that listed every single item that students suggested or asked to be fixed on campus, bringing the additional suggestions to improve overall campus life. We divided the suggestions into four categories: cafeteria, building life, super life, and school life. As you also see in the graph, students' answers are extremely varied. So, for instance, students request range from creating more plotters in the local hall, more sexual assault prevention training, or easier to stop them under the school category. Free or cheaper printing, or free gym passes, or more outlets in libraries, or even cheaper student ID under the cheaper category. Better housing options for early education for off-campus housing for other classes, more garbage cans on campus, and more frequent reliable staff buses under the student category. As well as more vegan options around halls, more Saturday and Sunday dining hours, more pickup boxes available for dining hours, and later dining hall hours, all under the cafeteria option. So as you can tell, these graphs and responses are pretty varied. There are students and representatives of various colleges and constituencies. It's our job to look at these numbers and pledge to really solve and tackle at least one or two of these initiatives. If you want a further and more detailed list of every single option students have
practice, don't hesitate to reach out to me. I will also put these drafts on the website for you to look at a later time.
Awesome. Now we can move back into Resolution 25. You guys have 4 minutes to recap before we go into discussion.
Hi, everyone. So we're presenting Resolution 25 on the investigation support system. I'm just going to go over briefly the resolution and some specifics that I just clarify before we begin the discussion. So this resolution is calling for an investigation of the support system. If you go to line 17 of the resolution, so Article 3, Section 2 of the Equity Charter, which is the governing document of our body, states that one of the six principal actions of the Assembly is an investigation, and this investigation is defined as an action of the Student Assembly to gain information on the student to its executive. So this committee, essentially, it doesn't have the authority to approve any legislation that comes to the SA. It only has the ability to create a factual report to present and inform an announcement to the essay. So the committee will convene, they'll do all their necessary research, and then they'll come to the student assembly with this report and they'll just make an announcement, and it doesn't have any legislative power. And that's all that. So actual legislation, if the investigation committee does find some finding and they want to take legislative action, actual legislation could go through a committee. So, for example, it could go through the community budget committee if they see that that's relevant. So, instead, the committee is just investigating a policy that was formed in 2011 and since then hasn't been investigated or researched by the student body since it was completed. So, that's all I have
to say. Is that it? Before we go into the speakers list, Juliana's going to help me keep track of all of you guys today, so make sure she sees you. And also, I'm going to read the speakers list that we have remaining from last week. So if you're on this list and you don't want to be on it, please indicate that to us, and then we'll put anyone who wants to be on the speakers list but isn't already on this list on it. Rep. Erin Liu, Titcom, Stefanko, Yang, Lise Liu, and Britton. Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to yield their time before we begin? Great. So that means first we're going into the speakers list. First is Representative Erin Liu. Just so you all are clear, the date is still April 15th. It just wasn't printed in this version of the document. But you can answer the question.
So we feel that we don't really need to be in the first quarter to still study the first quarter. I think we can survey students. I think we could look at data to really find out what occurred in the first quarter and the second quarter. So I think starting the investigation in the second semester or during the semester and missing the first half of the second quarter and the entire first quarter wouldn't really impact our investigation.
Next is Rep. Titcom. Next is VP Stefanko.
So I just have a quick question. I might have misunderstood this when you were presenting it, but in terms of the comprehensive report, what are your thoughts on having the FA actually have to approve that report instead of just simply making an announcement? I think it might ease some people's fears about whether or not this report is going to be credible, and if you know the report does a good job, it will also validate that report if we pass it, instead of just being like, this is what we came up with, here's our 2 minutes of our thoughts. So I'd just like to hear what your thoughts are on that, and hear, you know, if you think it's a good idea, I'd like to potentially motion to make it require a certain probably majority approval.
So the parliamentarian said that it would be more of an announcement, but on line 26, the says peer review by the student assembly. So I think it's a good idea to formally endorse it as a student assembly formally endorsed report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the audience?
Next is Representative Friedman.
I want to go back to one of the points that we talked about earlier, which is that most of the advanced issues that you want to investigate probably do occur in the first half of the year. This is the time when you're talking about what happened in Palestine, what happened even going to the can you talk a bit about why you shouldn't ask to have this take 1 year so that they can investigate each quarter individually? I know that it would take longer, but I think that you might get more robust information that way, especially if otherwise most people we're working on isn't empirical, in the sense that it's not, you can't ensure that it's just asking about the data and they not have the information.
Sure.
Fortunately for us, the first quarter and second quarter, they're all fresh in our minds, and I think, like you said, we're going to be able to process. We're going to be analyzing the reactions from the students to our different programs and different quarters.
Council liaison, Asamoah Mensa.
So first, I would like to commend you guys for reaching out to the other council, which is going to be on GFC. They also showed an interest of looking into the quarter system. But I was wondering for the community, do you have any specific numbers of how that's going to be comprised? Like, how many essay reps, how many people in the council at least?
You guys can answer.
So we amended it last week to include the members of the Greek Strike Council. Do you have any specific numbers about how many essay reps, how many Greek and non-Greek students, but it says that there needs to be a team representation. We don't know how big the investigation committee will be. If the chair's finding that it could be reaching, then the numbers will increase. So if we just wanted to focus on the ratio of Greek and non-Greek, and then make sure that we have
so to answer a question, in the amendment, the language was that at least one representative of each tribe has a body is young.
Next is Rep. Alicom. Next is Rep. Vakili.
Just a quick comment. I mentioned last week that it's really great that there's representation, Greek and non-Greek. I just want to mention that the Greek members, I think it should be even membership among fraternities and sorority locally.
Next is Representative Lee.
And I'm sure that they're going to take all of these people into account.
Next is Representative Kaufman.
So I heard some concerns about, like, you really want to start the investigation this spring, but other people want to start the investigation in the fall. How would you feel about starting in the spring and then having it continue through next fall? So that way, both interests are addressed.
I think both interests can be addressed without having a rush into the fall. I think by having that entire April 15th deadline, just creates a sense of urgency. The committee is actually coming to meet often and really do those research and come to the assembly by the end of the year for the comprehensive report in the form of an amendment that we can vote on and approve. I think that rather than having it going into next year, having summer be great. Investigation and good, just for the continuity and success of the report, just to have it end on April 15th. And I think we can still comprehensively study the first quarter and the second quarter.
Next is Representative Sakharov.
So I want to talk about the topic, the whole organization. I just have a question. So for this, this is a question that isn't on anyone, but is it going to say in the document itself that the composition will be decided by the staffing committee, or is that just not?
It's okay, committee members.
Yeah, so I'm guessing that's a point of information. So we'll just, the staffing committee will take care of that. And basically, the committee membership will be approved by the membership of the staffing committee. Yeah. Yeah, that's. It was on line, what? It was on line 32. So, yeah, that's why we made that announcement about following through with amendments to Chelsea, because otherwise they don't get printed. So that's why we're doing that. So if you guys are confused about the amendment that we made last week to this document, refer to your notes from last week, or the sponsors, Juliana or Chelsea, and I can explain them to you later. Next on our speakers list, actually we've expired the current. All right, so there's been a call to question on the resolution. There's been a second, which means that if there is no dissent, we will go into a vote. Is there any dissent? Meaning dissent to dissent on closing discussion, not an argument, to close discussion. 30 seconds. Great. So now we are going to have to vote, which means that if you guys vote yes, that means that we will vote on this and discussion will end. If you guys vote no, that means that we will continue in discussion and we can vote on the resolution later. Does everyone understand what we're doing? Great. So we're going to do a placard vote. If you are in favor of voting on this resolution and ending discussion, please raise your placard. If you would like to vote against ending discussion, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain. So by a vote of 24-0-1, we are going to move into a vote on this. So we are going to do a placard vote again. If you would like to approve this resolution, including the amendments that we made last week, please raise your placard. If you oppose this resolution, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. By a vote of 25-0-0, this passes. So thank you all very much for sponsoring this resolution, and we're looking forward to seeing the results from this committee on April 15th, but I'm sure we'll hear from staff and committee before then. So thank you very much. Next on our agenda is Resolution 26.
Motion to move Resolution 27 to the top of the agenda on business of the day.
You mean new business?
Yeah, move it to business. Motion to move 27 to business of the day, top of the agenda.
Isn't that true?
Motion to move to business of the day. Resolution 27 motion.
You have to motion to suspend the agenda, and then you can motion to make a business of the day.
Okay, motion to suspend the agenda. Second.
So there's been a motion to suspend the agenda to move R27, which is the elections rules, before Resolution 26. There has been a second. So we are going to vote on this motion. If there is no dissent. Great. So if you are in favor of moving the elections rules to the first item of new business, please raise your placard. All right, if you are being tenuous, you got to decide. If you are opposed to suspending the agenda to move R27 before R26, please raise your placards. And if you would like to abstain. Great. So by a vote of 25-0-1, we will move Resolution 27, the elections rules, first in the agenda, so the speakers can go up to the table. The sponsors.
I know, right? Should I just put them on the second one?
So just to clarify for everyone, first you have to do motions one at a time. So we can motion to suspend the rules to move this earlier in the agenda, and then we can motion later to move this to business of the day for new business. Just to clarify, because this is new business, we're not going to be arguing about the agenda rules. We are not going to be debating about, not the agenda rules, the elections rules. We are not going to be debating these. We are going to be asking questions and giving comments that are not argumentative in nature unless it is moved to business of the day.
Motion second.
So there's been a motion to move this to business of the day, and there has been a second. Is there any dissent?
Dissent. I need to time myself. So I think that the elections committee has spent a really long time on this, and I think it would be best to give them a chance to explain exactly where they're coming from without giving an argumentative nature to our comments before, and actually letting them explain their viewpoint before we have representatives give their color on what they think about it.
So now we are going to vote on whether we're moving this to business of the day. So if you want to move this to business of the day, just raise your placard. If you don't want to move this to business of the day, raise your placard when I say, do you oppose? Great. If you want to move this to business of the day, meaning that we can start debating it now, please raise your placard.
Yes.
Next, please raise your placard if you are opposed to moving this to business of the day. Please raise your placard if you would like to abstain. 17-8-0, we are going to move this to business of the day. Now you guys have 4 minutes to explain the resolution, and then we can go into the debate.
Okay, perfect. This is Resolution 27, verifying the spring 2015 election rules. For those of you who don't know, this is a big chunk of the Elections Committee. The Elections Committee is made up of 4 SA members, 6 committee members, and Director of Elections, which I represent the other day, to open up the discussion on some of the changes we made to the rules.
Thank you. After the conclusion of the fall elections, the Elections Committee assembled and started working on the election rules. We have spent around 1 month working and deliberating on the election rules, line by line, clause by clause. Our goal by doing so was to update the election rules to match the changing circumstances and to also uphold the integrity of these elections by maintaining goodwill among candidates. There are 3 types of changes that we have introduced in these election rules. First of all, there have been some clarifications in the language, which will make it easier for future committees and candidates to integrate these rules. Second, there have been changes in the procedures to reflect the best or the current practices in operation. And third, we have some changes and improvements in the content to make the election process more efficient and participatory. Most of these changes fall in the first 2 categories. However, there are some changes in the first category as well. In particular, I would like to highlight 2 sections. One in Article 2, Section B, which is related to restrictions on ticketing and space. And the second one in Article 3, Section C, independence of the Elections Committee. We believe that both these changes will help make the elections more participatory and efficient in the future.
So regarding the Article 2, Section C, we felt that after analyzing last year's elections that we felt there was no added value in the qualified choice from that was implemented last year. We felt that this also helped every candidate around their upcoming merit and also stop their elections from becoming unethical in different ways.
Yeah, so we had a conversation about committees that representatives on the conference. Despite all the arguments that we as a committee came up for a conference, we also determined that the negative side effects of such an act was outweighing positive. So we specifically discussed how we can make elections more than just electing the representatives of the student body. It's also one of the best ways to create visibility for the assembly and to talk about issues that matter to the student body. So honestly, more issues could be at the community changes platform, a wider part of the Cornell community could possibly be represented, and each candidate requires a different individual merit of representing all the coalition, and finally it eliminates the possible internal issues that could arise from the community itself as a common state. So I think this is something that we would love to have a conversation about, open up to all of you in the assembly, but I do want to bring attention to the fact that after virtual meetings and conversations where we fully discuss the reasoning for or against the common state, the committee voting unanimously against creating a common state for the election.
Great. So your time has expired. Unless someone motions to extend, we will move into the general discussion. First on our speakers list is VP Stefanko.
So if you're speaking with Vice President Henderson, I don't expect these rules to be voted on today, or at least it doesn't indicate that. So this is really my point to start a conversation, and I'm not tied to the opinion that I'm about to say, but I do feel relatively strongly that it's the right direction. I have a general problem with the kind of lack of picketing sort of argument, and I'm willing to compromise with the elections committee to some regard. So I understand that there were issues in terms of having people kind of bottom up support the president and vice president, but I do feel really strongly that the president and vice president, especially given the role of the vice president as defined within the student assembly charter and bylaws, is one that is incredibly supportive, and thus it makes a lot of sense in my head that the president and vice president be run on a functionally a ticket so that they support each other, have a similar agenda and similar vision. There's a few reasons for that. One, I think it works at a lot of other schools. I think most other schools that you find, they have a president, vice president sort of ticket complex. Second, I do think it drives participation. I don't really understand the sort of like individual merit argument for participation, but our participation has been pretty underwhelming over the past 2 or 3 years. I understand we've had fluctuations, but I really haven't been convinced that this process is working in terms of driving participation. And finally, I just don't. I think there's a problem when there's the chance that a president and vice president, especially given the fact that the vice president is supposed to be supportive of the president, could become elected and have completely divergent views. I think there's been issues in terms of my time on the assembly when the president and vice president have not held the same views, and there have been a lot of problems that have resulted from that. And I think that having a similar president and vice president solves a lot of these issues and doesn't fall into this trap of ticketing or slating or anything that, you know, that they're sort of arguing for. You still have a variety of debates that I think would occur. I don't think having the vice president, like, that's one less debate that potentially could occur. And I think if that's sort of silencing discussion or preventing, you know, things or creating coalitions, I think that's a pretty hard argument to generate when it's just one person that's running in a ticketed system.
Next is Liaison Battaglia.
Thank you. Looking at Section E10, the division of Clause 3, I have some three motivations about that. I'm very concerned because they feel that any member of the court committee has the right to challenge it. To me, it undermines the process of challenge because I'm concerned that someone could walk in, take down a name, and start doing things that would be asked to compromise the election, which then adds a form of recourse for extrajudicial, I think, vigilante justice, where they'll see the challenges and then act in a manner that is unbecoming. So I'm very concerned that you're adding really because anyone can walk in and then vote and then start maybe pointing and picking up the challenges. That's a whole picture. So I'm concerned about that.
You can respond.
Yeah, I just want to speak to the first point from Representative Kosenko. I mean, I think that's a valid argument that you need a unity between those two positions, but I think we could logically continue that argument to the entire exec board and say that a unified exec board is important in having a functioning assembly. And I think giving voters more choices is overall good. I think it's better if we can choose a VP, an EVP, and we choose a president. I don't think there's any really benefit in terms of having a president make the EDP decision for voters at the end. The other thing is, I think that leads to a situation where you have coalitions and people are going to be an executive vice president for a certain candidate much in advance, comparable to the endorsement. So I think that does kind of make more of a divisive assembly where people are playing their cards right well in advance to try to become an EDP.
Just to clarify and also provide some background on these comments, there are two separate issues here. First of all, in the present rules that we have for the previous semester, there was a section about having endorsements whereby candidates in various other ranks of president and EDP could endorse a presidential and EDP candidate. The other proposal, which was brought to my notice by another member, because we had conversations with members and other community members across the board, was to include a common place for the president and the EDP. So let us first of all separate these two issues. Second, the reasons for not having a common place are somewhat different from that of the endorsement. A common place would mean that the president and the EDP will run together, and thereby the votes of one of these candidates would be transferred to the
EDP. 10 seconds.
And this
motion to extend for 2 minutes.
Sure, I'll grant it. Just all continue.
Right. And as Representative Hamilton just mentioned, if you grant this proposals, if you have a common state for the blessed and the GDP, you can very well extend it to the entire assembly. We do have examples and incidents established by some other schools, and the elections committee did go into some of them, whereby, for instance, in UC Berkeley, they have a party-like system, whereby members are elected from different parties. Now, whether this university and this new body is ready for that kind of a system is a different debate altogether. Now, to also respond to the presentation of the Academy as common, we were made aware of the situation which happened, and we have actually included certain sections in the rules which prevent members from disclosing anything in an unauthorized way, which have already been there, which have been emphasized further. Besides that, there is the option of recourse to different disciplinary authorities that are already present on the campus. If there is a situation in which a person is challenging another campus, he second or somehow poor, then he can definitely oppose the election committee and we'll be happy to take that up when we are in the college.
Yeah, and I understand your concern about some information not being publicized, and we didn't really consider that too much, so there's always a possibility you can redact your information, which I think is going to come further.
And that's the first question. In the late 2000s, the Smithsonian had an election system where this kind of system of people endorsing each other and working together was in place, and that actually led to a very divisive assembly. It led to a lot of grudge between people and led to assemblies not working together, and we don't want that.
You guys still have a little bit of time. Would one of you clarify what the challenges were like and how they were displayed prior to it being written in the rules, just to clarify?
So I think this was partly due to lack of information on the part of previous election committees. We actually received a directive from the Office of the University Council, which now takes into consideration the aspect of reputation risk, which prevents us from disclosing any information, especially to the outside public, that might incriminate the letter of federal campus. So there is a delicate balance that this committee has to strike from now on. That's why we reached a compromise whereby members of the honors committee can look at these challenges, can review them in the office, but it will not be posted online from now on.
So to clarify, before it was posted in an even more public way, and now it is still open to the public, but with supervision. Next on the speakers list is Vice President Tayal.
I would like to congratulate the committee on bringing such changes to the election rules. However, I just had two queries, more than arguments, just two queries about the rules. The first was about reducing the number of quota cards that are going to be distributed. I mean, now in this sense, students have a limit on the amount they can spend during the elections, and to be very frank about that, that can't be measured very well. So by reducing the number of quota cards given officially to the students, aren't you incentivizing them to actually spend more on quota cards and thus sort of incentivizing them to increase their cost? And the second question was on the lines of endorsement. Now, I'm in all in favor of what's been proposed. However, I just had a theoretical question in the sense that if members of the assembly aren't allowed to endorse, why are organizations allowed to endorse? Because there can be organizations that are affiliated with members of the assembly that endorse. So that may be, you know, a theoretical zone where you just want to inspect. But yeah, congratulations.
If you guys don't mind waiting one more speaker, that'd be great. Next on the speakers list is VP Bhandari.
So I have one quick question about Section 8, which is talking about if there is some bias in the election committee's decision. He said it would be reviewed by the student director of campus relations. I'm just wondering how that works in the timeline of elections, because if you're a candidate and you're like disqualified and you want to appeal, how does that work? And then my second point was actually a comment with regards to some of the requests from the early beginning about having a ticket. So just
as a kind of anecdote. Harvard University, our peer institution, has a ticket system, and in their last election, they actually had a candidate who ran on a joke platform, tomato, basil, ravioli soup every day. This candidate actually won the election and is currently the president, but because this was a joke election, basically, I mean, students are essentially protesting their student government because it was, like, it was extremely politicized. The vice president actually had to come from another, like their opposing party. So, I mean, I just kind of want to use it as an example to say that some of these ticketing systems don't necessarily work in other schools, and I think this is a perfect example of how increased politicization of these elections because of people running together can actually really be very harmful.
You guys can respond.
Yeah, so for the first question about the quarter card reduction, so that was a change we made fairly close to putting these rules on the agenda. So we really just thought it was a waste of paper. I mean, when I was a candidate, I used all 12 times the quarter cards, because essentially it was 300 seats times 4 of the 12 quarter cards. I think 1,200 is a bit much, and that's why we ended up reducing it to these three lower numbers. And we figured that the Owen Coffee Center is a pretty cheap resource already, that the $50 wasn't really binding. I mean, most candidates never reach $50 on their expenses. And we considered raising the dollar amount of
I want to address something about the organizations and not from other countries. The reason why I think we make any difference is, again, slightly different from the fact of actual tickets and related endorsements, is that we wanted to really prevent certain factions of human beings in that way. For example, you can imagine, you know, if the president, for example, elections, you almost have a tree of endorsements, you know, I endorse him, and endorse him in the chain. And then, you know, one of those streets of pride, however many, you know, upper things, you know, can't get much of it, you kind of have this, you know, all those members of that tree, and then, you just have like a stigma that they, you know, once they are the city assembly, you can get elected, that it's really have a faction in the city assembly. That's one of the main things we're trying to say. Again, one of the things, like, you know, basically into America, that's all we're taking. That was really, we wanted to make sure people run on a platform that what they believe that is supporting their constituency rather than someone else, just so they can, you know, write on the social and some of that. The reason why we still allow organizations to endorse is I think it's a very important, regulator organization has. Is that they can, you know, tell their audience, basically, you know, these organizations, you know, this candidate supports us most closely. And that's important to help the candidate. Help the candidate also be responsible for efficiency. Meaning they, you know, it's best to give the organization, they are trying to help you. They just kind of create some more, just a more responsible pool of candidates. So I think it's more uniting.
Can I ask a follow-up?
Let them, you can finish, Chris.
Right, so I also wanted to answer the point raised by Representative Mandani. This provision about having the review by the senior director of campus relations has existed in some form or the other throughout this entire process. So one of our considerations was to actually rationalize the review. So if you read this provision, it only allows the senior director of campus relations to review the decision taken by the election committee and overturn it in the case that it found that the election committee's application of the rules was biased. This has already existed, and I think this is one of the last resorts that the qualified candidate has, and that's the first
question. Great, your time is up. Siobhan, I'm going to ask that you wait until the second speaker's list. Next on the speaker's list is Representative Hoodman.
I think here, which is sort of especially if you're kind of a well-established social network, like we're not going to be very useful. If you don't really want to thought about candidates that are dirty to their business or something like that. And I guess the last point that I've raised would be just touching on about the topic of choice. It seems that the main positive argument to have playing for the president and the DC unified, I pretty much agree with that. And this is going to be about that argument of being able to extend it a lot. I think that we haven't seen that issue recently. I haven't heard about that being a crucial problem or the past this place being a crucial problem, some of the things that I mentioned earlier. And not in America, the first issue is always kind of around with the top two candidates for president,
and
then
you've got it. What's really bad happening that close, so I don't do it anymore.
So next is Representative Brown. And you guys can address both concerns here.
So regarding I mean, I think it makes sense to say, well, I said that the process, the kind of atmosphere that it creates of making the assembly devices, you know, making members of the assembly having to take sides, that leads to members in force. I can tell you that last year, two freshmen that recommended itself, that there was a upperclassman pressuring them not to run in that person's race, so that that person can run on the course. You know, that kind of unethical behavior. And we don't want that to happen again.
Yeah, and in regards to the framing, I mean, if people do feel strongly that it's going to be a barrier for either a freshman or a candidate in the spring, I think we're not going to fight you to the death to keep that provision. That was something that we came up with. Just because you thought it made sense in terms of weight and paper, but yeah, feel free to amend that if you have any kind of directions with that. And one other thing I want to speak to you with a chance to say in the beginning was this committee did approve these rules unanimously, and I think the composition of the committee speaks to why these rules make sense. We have 4 SA members and 6 community members, and 0 of us are ever going to run an SA election again. We have nothing to gain from, I guess, like making these rules in our favor. So I mean, we're really trying to do what's best for the SA, and I think we have done that in this set of rules, and I think the zero conflict of interest really speaks to that.
So next on the speakers list is Trustee Gitlin.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
I apologize for being after, but you mentioned to me that the challenge reports online, where is that specific election rule that challenges reports online? I may ask.
So it was never, the reason why we added that part in is because it was never explained anywhere where they were listed or if they were in what way. We had the confidentiality call, and it was just, you know, we had that it would be available because of how, you know, like that. Online, there's many of them with no record length. However, film servers can't go after them. So, the Google search is still not.
Just to add that, 2 years ago when the presidential candidate was disqualified in the ruling with the content of the challenge, which were all put up online, and we later found out that it was against a directive approved by the Office of the University Council. So, in the light of that, new information came to us. We have made it.
Great. So, Trustee Gitlin.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So, in terms of the history of this debate around the government, last election cycle there was an amendment made by which a section added which allowed candidates in making decisions by telling to endorse the presidential candidate. That was considered by the election committee and was decided against retaining. Second, it's another proposal because we allowed all recommendations and committee members to give their recommendation and suggestions. There's another proposal that came to us which said that how about having a common stage for the president and the EP? And I did mention it to some of the members, some of them like it, some of them not. And I think that is the benefit of this problem, and that is why we are here.
I think especially for organizational endorsements, the organizations like don't have to work with the organization for the next year, which takes like a work. Like this organization should be like able to work well with each other, like people should be able to collaborate on initiatives, and that's why I think there's still value in the organizational endorsements. And just from the feedback on the promotional materials, I'm going to amend that to 300 and 150. It seems like a lot of people think it's perfect. So I'm going to amend those to 300 and 150.
So there's a motion on the floor. Is there a second?
Second.
Now we can go into discussion on the motion. If anyone would like to speak, please let me know. First, Representative Yang.
I'll be honest, my constituency has been very difficult. I didn't even doubt in how many people are present. I thought it was going to be over. I only got 100% of myself. I think it's true. That's what Trustee Yang said. You can keep it at a low number, but have the option to keep the option at half. More needed. That way then we don't give away so much paper that isn't going to be used. And I still have my quarter cards, and actually my quarter cards are going to work. I got a passion because I didn't need it. I thought this was kind of when you speak like a passion for paper, give away 400, I still got 200 for the thing. I think it was just a waste of paper.
Next is Rep. Dow. Call the question. There is dissent. You can have 30 seconds to explain why you do not want to close discussion on this, and then we're just going to vote on it.
I wanted to suggest an extension to this amendment and alternative solution in line to what both the representatives have suggested.
So by voting on this amendment, we are going to close discussion on the content of this amendment itself. So we are going to move into a vote to vote on the amendment itself. If you are interested in changing the actual wording of the entire amendment, the best thing for you to do would be to vote yes for voting and then vote the amendment down. Is everyone clear on that? I've tried to explain that a few times and I'm not sure if it's been clear. But basically we have to do a vote to vote on the amendment because there was dissent. So if you would like to end discussion on this amendment and vote on it, please raise your placards. If you are opposed to any discussion on this amendment, please raise your placard.
To vote.
So it's voting to end discussion. If you would like to abstain. By a vote of 22-2-0, We are going to close discussion and vote on the amendment as a whole. If you vote yes to this amendment and you would like to amend the amendment again, the two-thirds rule applies. So I'm suggesting that if you do not like the wording of this amendment and you still do want to make edits to this portion of the rules, that you vote in opposition for the amendment. If you are in favor of this amendment, please raise your placards.
Did someone add a hand?
If you are opposed to this amendment, please raise your placards. If you would like to abstain, please raise your placard. So by a vote of 13-10-0, which is a majority, the amendment does pass. So now we can go back into discussion on the document as a whole. Next on our speakers list is Representative Zacharek.
I have a question about Part B, how does it which editor could be based off of rank and which one is the number of I'm actually also a professional lesson, actually more similar to school specific lessons, and actually the best of the undoubted more special lessons. And I think I'm trying to get more people to start seeing voters, and actually doing more sheets past the first few votes.
Sure.
Yeah, so that was an issue we had in the fall election. It wasn't really supposed to be the way we ended up doing it with the rank all the candidates. So the only races where you had to do ranking your candidates was transferable, which was every other race, you should only pick however many seats you have to fill. So you have 4 equal votes for freshman reps, for example. And that is a policy specified in the charter, and we wanted to make it clear in the election vote, because I completely agree. It makes it way easier to vote for.
If there has been any questions on that aspect, we apologize for that. It was partly a reference of previous practices. That's why we have clarified it exactly according to Article 4, Section 2 of the Charter of the Assembly. I think now such and similar practices will be rationalized in the future.
Next on the speaker's list is Representative Kaufman. Next is Community Member Weisbach.
I was thinking of a separate idea, possibly changing the requirements to get onto a ballot such that they're more representative of the job really is. That would mean reducing petition requirements with petitioning is really kind of redundant to actually getting votes, and possibly pumping up meeting attendance policies and also committee participation policies, asking candidates to go to more committee meetings, just like as an idea, so that possibly we could have people more ready to go per se.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think that's an interesting idea for the committee attendance. The main reason we wanted to keep up with the petitioning numbers we allude to in favor of this is I think it's a good means of outreach and just getting more people to know about these elections and word of mouth. And that's the main reason we were hesitant. And I think there's pretty high burden in a lot of other schools too.
Also, to address the second question about increasing the amount of meetings that the candidates should attend. So, the one meeting requirement, like for Thursday exit meetings, included actually a lot of candidates from learning, like I think one person say perhaps a meeting. And we clarified very clearly in like a new revision that a candidate must attend a full meeting. So, if that is including a lot of students from learning, I think we want to make the elections as accessible as possible and have the most number of interested people run and base it on the platforms, not whether they can make the meetings or not, even though, like, when they do, and if they do win, they will have to make the commitment to the student assembly to come every Thursday. So, that was taken into consideration when we had a conversation.
Next is Representative Johnston.
Thank you for taking the time to this. I just have like a quick question. Have you explored any schools that do like an informal college coaching between like vice president and vice president and president, where like you have the option of running with someone but you're not like forced to? Because I can see how like devices to like say you have to go with the president and you have to go with the vice president, or maybe it's people who have like that individual desire to do so. I don't know.
So, a lot of universities in California schools have that an option, and what happens is that the people that are running independent don't have a voice, because there's two couples together running against them, and it just normally that kind of system doesn't work. Furthermore, that kind of system also causes these kind of internal party forms, and then it's unproductivity in their community. I mean, the election committee really just kind of stressed that it really looked at this issue. We looked at what happened last year, we looked at the past, what happened in 2000 right now, and we made this decision.
We also recognize the diversity of the student body that we have here. People come from different countries, different states, and different backgrounds. There are people who don't know anything about the place before they set foot on this campus. There are others who have friends and family going there. So I think having this kind of an adoption system gives the advantage to those who are less than level playing field because of their background or because they want to ask the independent ideas and run on their own.
I have a question of information.
Yeah.
Could you clarify how the voting system works for like any impression and also other plurality issues where your first vote and second vote voted?
Okay, so this year there. Yeah, so this year there was a mistake, as we were trying to explain before, but basically got left over from old practices, and you had to rank the freshmen by, like, a 1 to 19. You didn't have to rank all of them. You could have just ranked 4, but the fact that there were 19 spots for you to click may have deterred some people from completing their voting. In the future, for positions such as that one, where there are multiple people running for multiple seats, they will be even. So it's kind of like multiple choice, but you can choose up to 4 things. And for positions such as president and EVP, there needs to be some sort of ranking system, because EVP and presidential candidates can be considered for the undesignated at-large seat if they do obtain like the second highest number of ranked votes. But other than that, and Gina or Brian, feel free to clarify, but that's essentially how it's working. Did that answer your question?
Yes, is it multiple choice as far as the main position? So
for the position other than president and EVP, it shouldn't be. Brian? Yeah.
Yeah,
because it was unspecified in the election rules, we can continue what has been done. So we just, in the system, we have been just copying and pasting the same freshman election for about 5 years now. And that's just the way it was set up. If the system randomizes the order that they're put on the ranking sheet, and it calculates that if you don't rank someone, it counts it as nothing, like if they in your ballot and only allocated the points to the who was ranked, which is different how it was conducted in the future under these rules. It was just the checkboxes being checked 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you'd be done.
So you could choose up to 4 people in the new rank. I can't speak into the micro.
Hello?
You mean with the ranking? I think this is what happened this year. Brian, do you want to clarify?
When this is already been for freshness is you are it's not the hair system, but we use the version of the hair system for rank elections, which we will still use in the seat. It's a single control system that we use. I'm not sure if it's kind of a custom one that our adult that works for, that still will be used for the elections that provide. But looking back at the records that we have in the system, we use that in the for 5 years in the election.
So maybe you just don't remember how the voting went when you won the election, but that's how it was.
I think that is one of the initiatives that we have taken. There has been some confusion around some of these rules, and we have tried to make sure that these rules are consistent with our charter and with other documents that are valid. So I think from now on, we take that into consideration, and hopefully that confusion will not exist.
So we're going to move on with the speakers list. I think Representative Yang.
Yep.
Okay. And then that means Secretariat Murphy. I know there was something else that you wanted to say.
Sure. So Gina and I are starting to sign here, but on line 196, it says event registration /UCD Murphy property policy, accepting outdoor events. I don't think it's within the jurisdiction of the three of the students permit students to not follow campus code of conduct, so I would ask someone to remove the word accepting outdoor events, maybe an easier meaning. And then also a possible solution to the copy issue is we would be able to, based on the election that someone's running in, limit their copy to 10% of their proficiency or number 300, whichever is smaller, which would alleviate issues of constituencies like hotel school, which is about 800 people and things like that. So that's something to consider as well.
Yeah, so the exception outdoor events was an exemption from May 1st, 2014 that is lost from the transition of study from last spring to this fall. And that was when the UI policy was so fairly unclear. And so if you think that's not really necessary anymore, I'm fine with removing it. But the main point was making it clear with the UA policy that I don't need to register, but for a rally on the clauses if you need part of the market.
So next
you just strike accepting outdoor events from that bar.
Okay, so there has been a motion. There's been a second. Yes? So we don't actually do friendly amendments. We used to, but it is a practice that the student assembly does not use anymore. So just so you guys know, a friendly amendment means that because the sponsor is bringing it up, in some cases when you use Robert's rules, it can kind of just be absorbed. Our rules don't actually allow for that to happen. So even if the sponsors of a resolution think an amendment is a good idea, we still have to discuss or at least vote on it. So now that we're opening up discussion on this amendment, please raise your hand or placard if you would like to speak. First is community member Wife Brad.
This was voted in last semester. It's really, really important. We don't have to necessarily punish somebody. It can still be fine if the university decides that it's not tolerable. But outdoor rallies in solidarity with the university assembly, who's still fighting to get this exception. And we've seen a couple, even this year, we've seen a BSU rally that had an issue with language still being discussed on the paper. Leveraging the university assembly is doing. The outdoor rally thing, it was voted in the last semester. It's highly valuable for, ideological, and it's good.
All right. So next on the speaker's list for the amendment is Representative Yang.
I think it's important to have this for groups, and especially outdoor rallies, for them to follow campus conduct and fill out a university property, and especially in a spot like Oak Plaza, where it's the main traffic way for a lot of people. I would say that it's important that they give proper authorities the notice that they are planning to hold a rally that they are planning, and they give university administrators the opportunity to know about it, should anything arise. There is the medical staff or police on staff that are there to deal with the situation as needed.
Gina?
The concern really isn't necessarily all of the particulars about the argument about the use of outdoor permits that we make, so much as the article itself is asking all of the candidates and the supporters to comply with and be aware of all of the articles in the campus code holistically. As that code changes, however it changes, whether it's through the university assembly or the mechanisms there, the candidates and the supporters still need to be aware of whatever those provisions are. So as they stand right now, they are inclusive of policy, they may change, but how and when they change, all of the candidates still need to be aware of my methods. That was really the concern. Thank you.
Next is Trustee Gillen. The only problem is that there was an amendment on the floor, so we do have to finish that motion.
Motion to vote.
So there is a motion to vote. There is a second. If there is no dissent, we are going to just move into voting on the amendment. So if you're in favor of striking the accepting outdoor events portion of the rule, please raise your hand or a placard. If you are opposed to striking that, and if you would like to abstain, by a vote of 21-2-2, that portion of the rules is striked. We can, or stricken, we can move on with our debate unless there is another motion on the floor. All right, so there is a motion to table this until next week. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, I'm going to ask that we table this until, was that dissent? Okay, so when we have one motion on the floor, we need to finish that motion before we do another. So you can feel free to bring that up after we take care of this one. So we have a motion on the floor to move this to next week. There is a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, I am going to ask that we move this to next week by unanimous consent. Is there any dissent? Great. We will move this to the agenda for next week, and it will be business of the day again. Now we can continue on with our agenda. If there's any motions on the floor, you can always feel free to say them at any time. But next is Resolution 26. So there's been a motion to move Resolution 26 to business of the day. Is there a second? There is a second. Is there any dissent? Would you like to explain your dissent? You will have 30 seconds to do so.
I think it's a process to do business, and it will teach us maybe everything to do this for the day and why we need this in the first place. And rather than through a resolution, you're going to have to ask questions and then eventually to do this.
No. We are going to move into voting on whether to move this to business of the day. There is no vote to vote because we are moving it to business of the day or we're not moving it to business of the day. So, if you would like to move this to business of the day, please raise your placard. If you would not like to move this to business of the day, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain from this vote, please raise your placard. By a vote of 9-13-1, we are going to leave this as new business. So you guys have 4 minutes to present.
Thank you.
12 a.m. from Thursday to, no, from Sunday to Thursday. Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to add that I think this is a great example of a change on campus that doesn't cost a lot of money. It's an effective and creative way of something that the same freshman I'm complaining a lot about, especially a lot of members. I know you've been trying to get more access to freshman dorm room on campus, and I know there's a dorm board and places in every single dorm. This would be a great space for a lot of students from different dorms on your campus to study in a safe gathering.
And that would be great to work on. Told me that we don't need any money because they already have the chairs, tables, and the wall positions ready. And they have already been cleaning up for 2 days.
Great, wait, is that it? Awesome, now we can move into the speakers list. First is Representative Dow. Awesome. Next on the speakers list is Representative Yang.
I think I've got three points. One is I just want to ask you guys, has the society been started? And did you get this started already? And then number two is the response like changing the number of people that you or that will be coming through. My suggestion would be like science count how many people you have numbers, but that's it.
Great, thanks for the suggestion. Just to general body membership, resolutions, they can be working underway, and then you can submit the resolution, so I think this is great because we know this is going to happen. Also, sometimes it's important to use the resolution as a preemptive measure, as a statement that this is what the students have been saying. And so in our opinion, we actually got really great such responses from people at Pell or CCC, so that's why we went ahead and worked on it, but we also want to bring in the students that will be
what? So there's been a motion to vote, but because it's new business, we can't. So we would have to move it to business of the day first. It failed. We tried to move it to business of the day. Okay, so there's been a motion to move it to business of the day. There has been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, we will go into a vote to move to business of the day. If you are in favor of moving this to business of the day, please raise your placard. If you're opposed to moving this to business of the day, please raise your placard. And if you'd like to abstain, by a vote of 23-0, we will move this to business of the day. So now we can bring up comments that are more argumentative in nature. You can still ask questions, but you don't have to ask questions.
Call to vote.
What?
Motion to vote.
So there's a motion to vote. Is there a second?
What information? How many people are included?
Seven.
So there's dissent. Would you like 30 seconds to explain your dissent? Great. So now we're going to do a vote to vote. So if you would like to close discussion and vote on this right away, meaning that we would not address any of those people on the speakers list, please vote in favor. If you would not like to do that, then vote no. Okay. So if you are in favor of closing discussion now, please raise your placard. If you are opposed, if you'd like to abstain. By a vote of 9-13-0, the vote to vote failed, which means that we will continue discussing this as business of the day. Next on our speakers list is Brett McCall. Next is VP Bhandari.
So I have two questions or comments, I guess. The first is asking about some of your marketing slash outreach initiatives to make sure that people know that this event is happening. I was just wondering what you had, or not event, sorry, this initiative is happening. I was just wondering what in terms of publicity you were doing. And then the second one was, so I reached out to some of the representatives from the Residential Student Congress, as they're kind of, you know, a good representative of, like, residential life, which is primarily in North Campus. And they had some comments, just I just wanted to echo some of their sentiments. They just kind of were questioning some of the needs for the programs. I think they mentioned that there were some other study spaces existing already, so I just wanted you to speak a little bit to what exists already for North Campus and, like, how this is going to add to the existing programs and, I guess, yeah, that.
So, in terms of your first comment, I think it's really important to the communications committee. So, once this resolution is passed, we'll definitely go there and ask for some assistance in the PR promotional materials that we create, especially coming out of the student center. That's really important. And then, I'm going to show you some of the
questions.
Essentially,
a question. So, as you know, there's a lot of study spaces in North America now. The study space is make it quiet study space. So like our PCC, you can study there, but no one says you have to be quiet. So people really want to focus, they can. And also in the dorm, there's a lot of like study lounge, but like no one really, I mean, everyone study there, but if they talk, no one can say, oh, you can't talk. And also like our Cal Commons, there's a computer lab on the first floor. So for people who, you know, want to play, it's very convenient for them. And you mentioned Downland, there's a very good study space in Downland, but it's old school. And also, like, you know, for people who don't really need Downland, it's hard to, like, play there. And also it's a great atmosphere. Like, I feel if we can have a quiet setting in North, it gives freshmen a chance to, like, they feel like sometimes it's their home to go for reading and studying.
Great. So we are going to really try to keep to two representatives and then you guys speak, or two speakers and then you guys speak. Next is Representative Goldman. Okay, well, it would all happen during your time, so you guys can respond, I guess. It's just respond.
So when I say 2 to 3 weeks, it's like for taking a survey, and then during after that 2 to 3 weeks, generally, because we have like a winter break and a Thanksgiving break, so then I will change the result of the survey. We will have more discussion with Ms. and all the other teams who are in charge of like the when it's like the spaces in the north and south, because if we need more spaces for more hours.
Yeah. So my concern with that is that I feel people may not really know about it yet, so you're not gonna, you may not really turn out if you really want, and if you're evaluating it in January, you may have a decent result, and then I would think it might be better to push it back into February.
Yeah, I think that we agree with the pretty close deadline. That was kind of the deadline that was set by the people that were in the community. They wanted to meet with us again to discuss that. But I will be in touch with them on a month by month basis.
Next on the speakers list is Representative Friedman. Next is White Rub.
I just wanted to state that passing something like this has value just because it confirms what the community life committee is supposed to be doing. It's doing a lot of great things, something it's not doing great things. I'm just saying that in future years, having this on the book says this is the kind of stuff the community life committee does, and it's great.
Awesome. You guys can respond.
Yeah, just to build up what Wyfer said, it's also a statement about my campus community, finding more common spaces for freshmen. We talk about this freshman community. It's a safe time to spend a lot of time on Central Campus, to spend a lot of time on college time. We really want to bring back the campus culture. We know we have finite organizations that do that, but bringing together study space, I think, is really important to consider the library there. Erin, I think it works for the student library residency.
Motion to extend by 10 minutes the meeting.
So there's a motion to extend the meeting by 10 minutes. There has been a second. Is there any dissent? Seeing none, I'm going to ask that we move the meeting to end at 6:40 by unanimous consent. Great. Next is Representative McKeeley.
My question is, since this is a multi-purpose room and folks would like to visit open space by North, what is the process if not in class for the program to use space to like if it was going to RTP5 and so on to not easily jump to the update time for the space to be done?
So hang on. Next is Representative Ali Khan.
First of all, I'd like to say I love them, and we have resolutions that have tangible results for the government. Definitely, last year we worked on a resolution extending the library hours in Montana. So I'm wondering how, we worked on the debate on that, as well as that. And so I was wondering what's the update on that, and
but we have Appleton Library, which is directly on our campus, and extended hours
So basically, it's the hours end at 11 p.m. on Thursdays, and then on Sunday it was from 12 to 11. So like maybe if you took that into consideration to this resolution, the fact that there is also a space for students to go to, that specifically does mean that that's why it has a lot of different rooms and computers compared to all of that.
So we are going to allow Representative Brown to go. In that case, well, Representative Forshaw just went. Do you have anything else to say?
I mean, just if you consider putting a lot about that.
Okay, and then Clerk Chang. Say it. Thanks. And then Rep. Johnson.
My only is just a question. Why is it not, you just have stuff going on Friday and Saturday again, is that why you make it Sunday through Thursday? Because I know people are also looking for studies based on the weekend.
So you guys can respond. Next is Representative Titcom.
Hi, I'm so excited to have this great resolution, and having lived on North Campus last year, I can personally attest to that there is basically nowhere to study on North Campus. So this is very important, and I do know that the Atacama Library is on North Campus, arguably. It is very far away from where most of the freshman dorms are. It's probably about 10 to 15 minute walk, depending on what dorm you're in. So my goal is to go to Central Lab. So yeah.
Point of information?
Yes.
How many speakers are there on the speakers list?
There are 0 on the first speakers list and 1 on the second. You can motion whenever you want. There's a motion to vote. Is there a second?
Second.
Is there any dissent? Great. Seeing none, we are going to go into a vote. We're going to do a placard vote. If you are in favor of this resolution, please raise your placard. Okay. If you are opposed, please raise your placard. If you would like to abstain, by a vote of 24-0-0, it does pass. Congratulations, Aaron, on your first resolution. And
second.
With that, there's a motion to adjourn. There's a second. And everyone go to the Ivy Room for dinner after this.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.